High God. Glory to the Most High God. Glory to the Most High God. We praise you and worship you and give you glory.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to let the rocks cry out. We're crying out. We cry out. We praise you today. We praise you today, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today, Lord. We bless you today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for what you do for us. Thank you for the anointing that removes burdens and destroys yokes. Thank you, Lord, when we worship you. You can't help yourself. You just come in. Thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you need prayer for your body, if you'll come down, we're going to pray for you. We're going to command anything troubling you or discomforting you to be removed. In Jesus' name, we're going to do that right now. God is good. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's enough power in this room, as Pastor Nancy would say. There's enough power in this room to wipe out any sickness, any pain, any disease. There's enough power in this room right now to take care of it. Right now. Start down here, ushers. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I command that to leave you. Thank you, Lord. Leave her in Jesus' name. Leave her in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease is defeated in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, free. In the name of Jesus, we command every symptom to depart in Jesus' name. Every whit whole in Jesus' name, all the way gone. All the way this time, all the way out, all gone. In the name of Jesus, the rest of it go now. You go in Jesus' name. It is finished. No man eat fruit of you. Hereafter forever. It's gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, leave. Sickness and disease depart. Pain, sickness, disease depart in Jesus' name. Depart, leave in Jesus' name. It's over. I need y'all to bring them this way so we don't howl in the speaker. Y'all move this way, please. He's already working on you. Now. Right now, it's over. Speak strength to your body. A strength like you haven't had. Strength, strength, strength in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Taken care of right now. Depart in Jesus' name. No more symptoms. No more pain. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. 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 This is the day. Leave in Jesus' name. Every symptom be gone. Healed from the top of her head to the soles of her feet in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus now, the blood of Jesus has defeated you. You will stay out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Presence of the Lord. God is good. Praise God. Thank you, guys. That was great, you guys. That was so good. Thank y'all. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians 15:58. And while you're going, listen to me. I want to tell you something. So, just victory protocol. Usually our offering words are about 5 to 7 minutes, sometimes 8 minutes. Today I'm going to probably take a little bit longer. So don't get nervous thinking she hasn't even started the word yet. It's going to all come in a really good package. And I'm believing by the time you leave here for lunch, you will have everything you need to get what you've been waiting for.
Hallelujah.
This is a setup. If you came today, this is a setup for you. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So that my beloved brothers be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not without fruit in the Lord. You see that? Okay. Now, how many things have you done for the Lord and you just feel like you didn't get a harvest or you didn't get a harvest? Everything you do for God is a seed. Now, offering time, it's about finances. But a smile can be a seed. A hug can be a seed. Praying for someone can be a seed. Answering the phone in the middle of your favorite show when somebody needs you. I know about that. People are more important, right? But everything's a seed. Now, we don't just do what we do to get a harvest. We don't just do it for that. We love God and we love people. However, there is a law in the earth. It is seed time and harvest. So if you're going to sow whichever way, you are declared by the word of God that you will get a harvest. Amen. And so that's God's plan. It's part of his plan. But how much is still in the field? This is the question. How much harvest is still in the field? Because Jesus said nothing should be wasted. Nothing should be wasted. Psalm 112:3 is going to come up on the screen here. I'm going to read Psalm 112:3 and then skip to 9. So you can just look on here if you want to. This is talking about a righteous man. You know Psalm 12. It's beautiful. It's about a righteous person. It says they themselves will be wealthy. Wealthy is in the Bible. And their good deeds will last forever. They share, here's 9. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered for a real short time.
No,
their good deeds will be remembered forever. They have influence and honor. Who has influence and honor? The righteous do and the seeds do. Amen, because it's coming from you. Amen. So your deeds are never forgotten. So let me ask you this. What good does it do to remember good deeds? I have a minister friend who was talking to God, and she said, "Lord, you said our good deeds would be remembered forever." And God spoke up on the inside of her and said, "So what?" And she was shocked. She was like, "Did I just hear that from the Holy Spirit? So what?" Then he said this to her. He said, "You ought to pray, 'My good deeds shall not be forgotten, and they are rewarded.'" So you're going to pray something to God. You just can't say, "Now, Lord, you know that I've sown all these seeds." He does know, but you're not reaping it in the earth unless you say something with your mouth. Walk with me now. So, You do understand that there are rewards for serving God. This is not a bad thing. Yes, we have grace, and yes, God loves all of his children, but God is not a socialistic government. He doesn't give everybody a trophy just because they showed up. Y'all should be really excited about that. Praise the Lord. Remember the story of Esther. Everybody in here knows the story of Esther. Mordecai was Esther's cousin. She was his uncle's daughter. And so he exposed some assassins to kings, right? To the king, I'm sorry. And they were two men who were trying to kill the king. So early on there, he had exposed these guys. And so Mordecai was written in the book of histories, but forgotten otherwise. He was just in the book. Now, you know what happened. The one night the king couldn't sleep, he gets up and he's flipping through the book of histories, and he sees, there's that Mordecai guy. He saved my life. And so he decides that he will honor and reward Mordecai. So this puts Mordecai in favor with the king. You know how the story plays out with Esther. But actually what happens here is they put the king's ring on him, the king's robe on him, and parade him through the streets. So he's getting a reward, all right? So his reward was remembered, and you know the story going on. So here's my point. Mordecai was rewarded. So this is what we should pray. My good deeds shall never be forgotten, and like Mordecai, I am rewarded. Now, just for those who have a little trouble putting that together, remember, nothing happens in the earth unless someone speaks it. Go back to creation. God is a speaking spirit. He created speaking spirits. You have authority in the earth by speaking. That's why the enemy wants your tongue. He'd rather see you cuss than make a good confession. Just to help those who maybe haven't heard that before, we're probably pretty secure in that around here. But so now listen, your rewards are a witness of God's goodness and fairness in the earth. So you should want them. They testify of how great God is in the earth. And so you should want the rewards. The rewards are, and we're going to say this, it's your harvest. Okay. So here's a question. Why don't we see more harvest? We're going to answer that right now, and you're getting your harvest. Amen. So Luke 2:10 says in the Phillips translation, there's a great harvest, but only few are working it. Well, what does that mean? It means that only a few people are opening their mouth. See, we understand talking and planting seed. We understand watering seed with the word. But the Bible clearly tells us that it grows night and day. We know not how, but it tells you how to reap it. Say it. Amen. Talk it. Yes. Declare it. That's how you reap it. When the field is full, you don't just go, look at there, all my seed came up. Anybody raised by farmers? Yeah, three of you. Yeah. And so my whole lineage is behind me is farmers. Farmers, farmers, farmers. My dad was a farmer. And he was a small farmer by the time I was growing up. But he had lived on farms all of his life. And he knew what to do. And you have to go out there and pick those things. You can't just leave them out there.
That's right.
Now, for our garden at home, Danny goes out and looks every 4 days a week and comes in and tells me the squash is this big now. Thank you, Danny. Praise the Lord. John helps look after it. But you have to go get it. And you have to get it with words. So when we think of this scripture, there's a great harvest, but only few are working it. We think of souls. That's what we think of. We want to harvest souls. But it's more than just souls, church. It's a harvest of all sorts. So we aren't getting more harvest because we don't work our harvest. The harvest will sit in the field until you harvest it. So here's the next question. I already answered it here, but how do I get my harvest in? Matthew 11:11 says, truly I say to you, among those who have been born of women, there has not risen a greater one than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So why is John the Baptist the greatest prophet? And why are we greater? Well, he's the greatest prophet because he ushered in with his voice the Messiah. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's plowing up the ground. Bring up the dirt. Take down the hills. He's plowing up the ground. And then we are called to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And so I know you're flipping back to souls now. You're flipping back to Jesus coming. But you are the one who is planting and watering, and I'm helping you water right now, and reaping. You have to reap your harvest. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So he's shouting out there in the wilderness. Our system is voice activated. Through our mouth, a path is cleared. If you're going to cut down we call it Milo. People call it maize. If you're going to cut down, we were raised out in San Marcos. We look like the hill country on this side of Ranch Road 12 and 35. But on the other side of 35, we're rolling hills. And so that's where I was raised. And I was also made a lot of trips to what they call the sand hills. My grandmother lived in the sand hills. I believe Matthew has relatives there. And I mean, it's just rolling hills, but it's farms. It's farms. And so we watched them, and actually we lived in a corn patch. And so we would watch them all. Debbie was there. We had a cornfield over here, a lot of acres, and a pecan grove. And that's where we all lived. And, so we watched all kinds of harvests, but it took work. And it's expensive to harvest. Amen. So that's when we have to give our best effort. So being made in the image of God, we need to do this, listen to me, night and day. Night and day. I got out, you know, we passed out some of those books, those Seed Time and Harvest books, you know, where you keep track. Brother Jerry puts them out. You keep track of your seed and you keep track of your harvest. Man, from January 1st all the way down. And then I flipped it over and it said, harvest. What have your harvest been? And I went, I only had two on there. And I hadn't been writing them down. And I went, oops. So I went back and started looking at this. And I thought, I better start opening my mouth. Because I have, from the time I hit January, I have sowed so much seed that it's amazing and should be having way more harvest come in. So I don't know about you, but I'm getting it. I'm going to get it. Now, think about this. What if you found just two simple sentences? Hey, Deb. Two. Two simple sentences, one in the morning and one at night. I believe you'd see your results. Because your harvest would come in. Listen to James 5:4. It says, the wages you refuse to pay the people who harvested your fields shout to God against you. So when you've, now this is going to go over into what I'm going to preach in a minute, but anything that's been held back from you, that somebody owes you. Come on. Particularly the devil. If somebody owes, this scripture is saying those wages are crying out and saying, I want to go to my owner. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, pastor, stuff doesn't talk. I believe it's talking to us every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And your inheritance.
Your inheritance, that's right. Help me preach it. Let's go. So, It's the law of God that we use our voice to reap our rewards. So what do I say? What do I say? Well, the word of God doesn't return void. So you want to say something, and you can say it in your own words, but you want to say something that's word oriented. Okay. So how about this? Lord, the good deeds I've sown will never be forgotten. And like Mordecai, I am rewarded. How about that? Okay. How about this? Lord, Wake up those who will show me favor. Wake up those who have sown into I have sown into as a ministry. Those that have sown. Okay? Praise the Lord. All right. Listen to this one. I received the harvest I have sown. And you should know this by now because I quote this to you every Sunday. Press down. Shaking together. Running over. Shall men give it to your pockets? Yeah. You could say that. If you said that night and day. That's how it grows. We don't know how it grows, but it says night and day. If you just put those words out, you're going to get your harvest.
Yes.
Just start saying it. Just start putting it in there. Lord, the good deeds that I've sown will never be forgotten. And like Mordecai, I'm rewarded. Wake up those who will show me favor. Wake up those we have sown into as a ministry. I receive a harvest that I have sown. Press down, shake it together, running over. You can add good measure in there if you want to. Shall men give into my bosom. So, and here's the last thought. Now you get from God what you want to, but how about this? I know who the thief is. And I demand justice. My harvest is loose to come to me. I have justice, and this will connect with what we're going to say in a little bit. So there are some activation declarations.
Amen.
You are taking the swift reaper and reaping your harvest.
Yes.
But if you're going to sit around and say, you know, I've given a lot to the church. I've given to this ministry, to that ministry, and you know, they always talk about that I get something back, but I just haven't seen anything. You just open your mouth the other way and left your harvest in the field. But the Bible said, the Bible, not me, not Kenneth Hagin, not Kenneth Copeland, although they say it too, but it absolutely says right here that our good deeds should be rewarded. It's a blessing to God. You know, when your baby does something good, you like to reward them. Look at you. I mean, you know, so we only have two babies at our house, and they're both canines. But Boone learned high five, and Boone is getting high praise. I mean, John comes in, high five. Everybody comes in, you know, they're all working it, boy. Look, high five. And he's like, man, I'm smart now, you know, and he's getting high praise for it. And sometimes he get a cookie for it too. But you know, when your kids do it, today's my grandson's birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Carter.
He reaped a nice backpack for me, and I'm going to go take him to dinner. And, I would have bought him a vehicle, but he doesn't drive yet. So praise the Lord. I'm kidding. He already has a vehicle. He's already believing God that dad's truck's going to be passed down to him. He's that kind of kid, you know. He lives out in those rolling hills, so it's a... Praise the Lord. He's a blessing. He's a reward. Your children are a reward. They should get their rewards. I'm telling you, Addie was quite put on quite the performance. And I tell you, your teacher, that lady needs a reward because she can teach those kids. You did a great job. There were so many fans around you. I was in the back. I couldn't even get to her. I want to say, y'all need to move out of the way. I'm her pastor. But you really did good. I'm so proud of you. What a great job. And it's very God-oriented. Reward. Get your harvest. Here's the last thing. Job 22:28 says, you will declare a thing and it will be established for you. Huh? You will declare a thing and it will be established for you. You need me to repeat it or you've got it? Lord, I've sown good seed and I'm rewarded like Mordecai of old, or however you want to say it. That's how I say it. Praise the Lord. You receive this? Come on, brothers. Thank you, Jesus. Sow your seed. Reap your harvest. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you going to do it? Or are you going to leave it out there? Do it. It's not that hard. Set an alarm. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your phone. Just put it on your phone and it'll go blink and say, Danny does that. I hear Danny's phone go off and then she quotes something. I'll hear her doing that and I'm like, that's pretty smart. You don't forget because she's really busy. And she's doing all this stuff, but she doesn't forget that. She, nope. Da-da. So I'm doing it too. I'm not forgetting. I'm getting my harvest because by now I should be way more than a millionaire. And so should you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm happy for what I have. I'm not lacking, but I want to have enough to give to every good work. I'm ready for Miss Billy's building over there to be done in Israel.
Yes.
I'm ready to see the new facility at KCM done. They're building there. And we're building a studio. Mm-hmm. In case you don't know that, we're building a studio that we can operate of. It'll be chapel-like, a place to pray. Got cleared off yesterday thanks to some angelic forces in the room. Praise the Lord, and we're very grateful. But God's doing it. Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver. I thank you for those who sowed into that yesterday, for those who were willing to put something out there. Thank you, Lord, for the return and the harvest of that. Thank you for everything that has been sown into this house for years. And I declare that like Mordecai of old, they receive their harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. Huh? Oh, if you'd like to give me a text message, and you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. And it will be done. And that's the way I do it. I love to use that text.
So easy.
It works so good. You can just line them up. I have them all, those that I give to at the first of the month, you know. Bam, bam. It's easy to do. And then during the week here, of course. Thank you, Jesus. This church tithes. This pastor tithes.
Yeah.
This church gives a lot. This pastor gives a lot.
Amen.
And so we're moving forward. Amen. God is good. That's why we have a debt-free building. That's why we're moving forward. By the way, our blinds came in yesterday. We're going to have all new blinds in here all the way through the church. Glory to God. That's good. Our sign is on its way. And God has been good. Amen. All right. God is good. Let's go to Hebrews 10:30. Hebrews 10:30. We're going to talk about vengeance again. We started it Wednesday night. We stopped for no one. So if you don't come on Wednesday night, you can get online. I'm not trying to be mean, but we got to go. We're headed somewhere. And you know, I'm not condemning you if you don't come, but I'm just telling you, we're moving forward.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You can go back and listen to it. Amanda will probably have it up tomorrow afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hebrews 30, 10:30. Slow down. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Now, Romans 12:19, coming up here. Dearly beloved, 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Don't try to kill all the roaches yourself, just get the exterminator. That's what wrath is. It's an exterminator of darkness. Come on. I'm not being rude. That's what I'm just, we know that here. So we're studying vengeance, what it is and what it isn't. Vengeance is in the Bible 45 times, within 39 verses, I believe. So we said this Wednesday night. I want to repeat this. So make sure you get this so you're not thinking we're trying to promote the wrong thing. Vengeance has nothing to do with hate, emotional resentment, or retaliation from having these particular things, retaliating because you're emotionally upset or something, right? But it involves the necessity of punishing offenders, which proceeds from the love of justice. It's about justice. We're talking about vengeance because of the love of justice. So the judgment then is upon the devil and his agents of evil, including anything and everything standing in the way of establishing the kingdom government. Okay? So if anything is getting in the way of that, it's got to be moved. So don't side up with that. You got to stay clear of that. Amen. Just a helpful hint. So those who are hindering then, if they side up with it, are stopping the spread of the gospel, and those interfering with the rights of God's kingdom citizens are subject to God's vengeance. Now, I'm going to say this because we have a few new people listening. I want to make sure that you understand where we stand on this thing. In God's plan, in his system, this is not God going, "You bad." Bam. God has already forgiven. He set up a system in the Old Testament, just like seed time and harvest, just like speaking with your mouth. Those are all set up and they're still running today. When you see big L-O-R-D, that is a system of God. And that system still works. In other words, the word still works. Okay? It's still, so you don't get in that system. It's like there's still two laws happening right now. The spirit of the life in Christ Jesus and the spirit of law and death, sin and death. Right? The law of sin and death is the way it says it. So life is choice driven. So that's why you see many Christians failing, because they're still associating with the other thing. Church, listen, and it's only ignorant. It's not stupid. Ignorant means they just haven't learned. A lot of people don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know what they have. They think they're still under the curse. They think they're sinners saved by grace. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You're saved by grace, and now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. Do you still sin? Yeah. But that's not who you are. Okay. So, but the idea is not to align yourself with the wrong system. The reason the Apostle Paul called for holiness is because there's a devil out there. And if he can catch you up in a trap, he'll do it. And so that's why we steer away from some things. Amen. When I was younger, I was a decent Christian girl, I guess. And our husbands were, I was married at the time, and our husbands were off hunting. We didn't go with them. We should have. It would have probably made a whole lot of difference. But we didn't. And so we decided to join a baseball team. Well, the baseball team was the sponsor was a bar. Well, the team meets down there, so you'll have to come down there. Well, you're a Christian. Well, it won't hurt you to have a few drinks. It'll be all right. And then it led to a whole lot more than that. Have you seen Cheers? Anybody seen Cheers? Well, I was Norm. I'm not kidding. So I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying, I mean, it's your life. You do what you want to do with it. But I'm just telling you, except leaders here. Well, I'm just being honest. You do what you want to do with your life. I love you. Do what you want to do. I mean, that's your business. And listen, we're called to love people. God's called to change them. I don't care what anybody's doing. I'll love them and be with them. It doesn't matter to me. I'm talking about myself, okay? So that kind of ruined my life. Kind of. It did. Now, 5 people on the team got saved. That's great. But my life went to hell in a handbasket at the same time. I got on the wrong side of things. I'm just telling you that. So you have to watch yourself that you don't just, well, who you hang around with is so important. And so you want to watch who you're flowing with here. And that was all for free. And don't get mad at me about drinking and stuff. That's, like I said, I love you, but, you know, it wasn't for me. I'll tell you that. Amen. Now, so, this is about the love of justice, as I said. Now, it's not revenge that springs from any kind of bitterness or ill will, which the Bible says is the works of the flesh. So, but from that justice. So, the vengeance of the Lord, this is what you need to get. It's not automatic. You hear me? It's not, it's like reaping the harvest. It's not automatic. God has to work through a person who believes and has confidence in God's ability to execute justice and judgment. So this is about a person who's clear about this. This is not someone who's going, man, they made me mad. Jesus, kill them. This is not about that. This is about wanting justice. You know, you're sitting here right now, and when you think about America, you want some justice. But it's not about us deciding who, if we need a sniper to knock somebody off. That's not God. That's not right. We love people. God changes them. He'll change your heart. It took God to change my heart about those things. Because I knew what was better. I could say that, Lord. Church, look, I'm going to go back to the drinking thing for just a minute. I have worked for 30 years with people who came out of drugs and alcohol. It does not behoove me to go have a drink with them, even though it's probably wouldn't harm me. I can't afford to sit down with someone and cause them to fall. Now maybe you understand me better. So if I see you and you're doing what you do, I'm not your judge. And I'm not going, no. But I have to do what God called me to do. Now, so you all understand me, right? Okay. Now, Daniel believed in his God. He believed in the power. He believed in the sovereignty to deliver him from those lions. And because he did, he was delivered. Always keep this in mind. This is a person obeying God, not a person seeking revenge. Moses tried to get justice. Remember? He ended up killing somebody. And he ended up on the backside of the desert in exile. It did not work. You can't get it this way. And then God finally says this to him. Look, you're going to be the deliverer. I am going to use you. We're going to do it my way. That's what God said. We're going to do it my way. And then God brought justice. He brought it in. And so those slaves, they came out of the land. They did good. They sent the warm women. The women are knocking on the doors. Give me your jewelry. And so the Egyptians are giving them stuff, saying, just go. Here, I'll pay your way. Take this. And so they go out wealthy, whole, where everything was good. They're not hobbling along like it did on the movie. Praise the Lord. So God brought justice, and they walked out wealthy. Now, church, we cannot reason. We cannot decide what we will do. That's what Moses did. If we do what God says, then it's going to work out supernaturally, and nobody's going to get hurt. Don't want people getting hurt over this stuff. You know, maybe you do want to, you just want to render a little pain. But we can't afford to set ourselves up as judges. We cannot do that and render verdicts on people. I told this Wednesday night, I'm going to tell it again. I was, I don't even remember why. It really wasn't in my thinking. I was walking and just kind of thinking around. I wasn't listening to anything at the time. And it was like the Lord ran up to me and caught up to me and said, hey, Have you felt that? Where you're just going along with life and here comes the Lord. And it's like almost tangible. And he says, about that guy who talks about you all the time to everybody in the area. And I was like, yeah. And he said, what do you want to do about him? And I went, oh, no, Lord, I don't want anything to happen to him. That's what the Lord wanted to hear. I was like, no, he's a good guy. He just doesn't know. He's just been taught wrong. It's okay. And he doesn't know to shut up. That's what the Lord wanted to hear. I know you are laughing, but listen, us shutting up about people will keep bad things from happening to us. Because in case you want to know, I have a big sword out in front of me. And so do you. And so that was the right answer. So I pray. He asked me, what do you want to do? I say, I pray the eyes of his understanding will be enlightened. That's all. Just show him the truth. I don't care about anything else. I'm not looking for anything else than that. That's how we're going to have to do this. That's how we're going to have to do this with these people we're dealing with, you know, in the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amen. We're going to win.
Yeah.
This is going to fall down into a little more of some things you want to know about here. So we leave it to God. We let God keep the books. Let him keep the books. But we do something. I think, now listen to me, I think good church people, they think they have no rights. They forgive. And they'll repent. Lord knows. For the last years, well, I've heard more coming from the screen when it has to do with political things particularly. All we've heard is if my people who are called by my name will repent and change from their wicked ways, I will, da, 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 right? Now, I don't discount that. That's great. It's scripture. I believe it. Okay?
Right.
But is there more? Is there actually more to this?
Yeah.
Yes, there is more. And I'm not making small of that, but listen to what Jesus said in Luke 18:7. This is Luke 18:7. Won't God give his chosen people justice when they cry out to him for help day and night? Hey, there's that day and night again.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Is he slow to help them? I can guarantee that he will give them justice quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? So this is, of course, not cry like a baby. Oh, God, if you just. No, this is like, Jesus, I'm declaring justice. So here we see, just like we had in the offering word, we see we have to use our mouth to reap the harvest, and we see we have to use our mouth to reap justice. Okay? Thank you. So here we go. So the cry is shout for help, but it doesn't mean that you're pleading and begging. As Jeremy said this morning, God doesn't know the language of begging.
Yeah.
He knows the language of faith. Amen. And so it means that by faith you're proclaiming what your Father has promised you, and he comes on the scene and gives you justice quickly. Amen.
Yes.
Now, I have to tell you, over the years, we'll talk back about the person who has said all these things. I don't know, don't care if I ever know about that. But over the years, the people that have persecuted me and come against me and done evil things, I've gotten an apology from about 90% of them. And you can too. Now, I don't care if I get an apology. I'm just glad for them. Because I don't want to be on the wrong side of this. I don't know about you. And it's, I don't like it. Nobody loves persecution. Nobody loves these. I'm using this as an example. But look, this could be that finances were stolen from you.
Yeah.
Not just someone trying to hinder your reputation. This could be that the enemy's trying to take you down in your body.
Yeah.
You need justice for that. This could be that things have not moved quickly enough. There's too much delay going on. If there's too much, this could be that there was loss for one reason or another by choices made or whatever. You need justice. Here's point blank here. Whatever the devil is accusing or working on, you need justice. And it boils down to him. There's the short version. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just think it works really good when you can see when it's people blah, blah, because we don't want to blah, blah. Okay. So that's why I like the example so much. Now, listen, God has never been unjust to anyone. He's never been unjust to anyone. We see the enemy giving up and God coming on the scene. And when you're willing to be bold about that and say what you want and continue to declare it, continue to thank God for it, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. I personally know some people in this church that your inheritance was stolen. Right at the last minute, the wrong person died before the other person. So-and-so got in who was another part of the family and decided to move it over to this part of the family, and the inheritance was stolen. Mm-hmm. Justice. Yeah. Now we're not looking back at old so-and-so.
No.
We're not looking back at the people. We're just calling for justice in that thing. Maybe when one of your relatives died and they promised you something and things were all given away, and maybe they were all given away while you were gone somewhere, and oh, we knew you wouldn't want it. Maybe something like that. But yeah, justice.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with justice.
Amen.
Just giving you some basic ideas about that. Mm-hmm. I'm demanding justice. Now, Proverbs 6:30, they do not despise a thief. Now, I want you to get this. This is very important. They do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. And if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Listen to me, church. If someone who was hungry stole some food from you, you probably wouldn't get that mad about it. You probably go, well, they were trying to feed their family. But the truth is, you can't steer away from this. There is no law that clears them for that. You're not supposed to steal. Are you with me? You got that? Okay. So, no excuse. This is telling us that there is never any excuse to steal. There's just not. Well, you know, it was just a cheating situation. No. There's no excuse. Okay? Now, if you do, according to the Bible, you pay seven times. You pay seven times what you took. Now, that's what the Bible says. Okay? So if a thief is caught, he pays seven times the amount he stole. Who have you caught? You caught the devil. Not the people, the devil. He has to give it up. So the thief is caught. He's not a person. He's a devil. I'm demanding justice from him. I demand it in dollar amounts. I demand it in relationships. I demand it in reputation. I demand it in inheritance. I demand it in my body. I want justice. I demand it in America. The United States of America. Texas,
yes.
The border,
yes.
We declare justice for the people. We're not mad at the people who are trying to get in here. This is a great place. But things could be done differently. Justice. That's my opinion anyway. Now, so... you bring the perpetrator before the throne of justice in heaven's court. Lord, I'm coming to you to the courts of heaven and in the name of Jesus. You know, I'm always going to the courts of heaven and commanding a crop failure over my big mouth. But you can go to the courts of heaven and command a crop failure over the seed, the bad negative seeds that have been sown. And command justice, demand justice. Like, oh, I don't know about demanding from God. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Christians have this false humility thing going on. We're supposed to be humble. We're not supposed to be selfish. But humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Right? So you were paid for with a wonderful price. A glorious price, the highest price. So you're worth something. Amen. But you can come to the courts of heaven because God said you could, and you can declare what you need to do right there in your car, in your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your hallway, outside, wherever it is, and say, look, Lord. And if you get this right and you don't get over in your flesh about it, it'll work for you. Justice is available. You remember, I've told you the story about Mark Barkley's grandchild drowned in the pool. And she died in the pool. And so the ambulance came and they couldn't get her back. And so the dad cries out an interesting thing. This can't happen. I'm a tither. Now, there's a whole world, even Christians, who would go, what does tithing have to do with trying to raise that little girl from the dead? How does that work? What's he talking about? Just because he gave money to the church? No, he's cooperating with a covenant. Yes. Yes. He has been walking in this covenant with God.
Yeah.
This covenant says the devourer is rebuked. So in this covenant, he's calling out the words he knows to call out.
Yeah.
No, God's in covenant with me. You're not. And so in a minute, that little girl spit up the water and said, what are we doing? Calling on the covenant. Justice. This, I have a covenant with Almighty God. I'm in the place I know I need to be in. I'm in the anointing. I am sitting in my call in my life. I'm talking as if it were all of us. And I'm coming to God Almighty, my Father, saying, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, this is what needs to happen. You can be that bold. And God won't be mad and say, well, you little sassy thing, you. He will not. He'll say, come on, girl. Come on, boy. Let's do it. And he'll take care of it. It doesn't hurt his feelings at all. It's said over in Job, decree a thing, declare a thing, and it'll be established. He's trying to tell us that we need to open our mouth and say something. And don't just say, they're being mean to me around town. They're just being mean to me. Or, what's Pauline's uncle's name? Uncle Harold gave our inheritance to the women's wrestling team, the girls' wrestling team. She told us that story at Dairy Queen probably 15, 16 years ago. We laughed until we were laying on the floor. She can tell it better than any person. But Uncle So-and-so, this is really true. Uncle So-and-so gave their inheritance to the women's wrestling team. Pauline, it's wonderful and as funny as you told that story. I declare you get every cent. She's a great storyteller. You know, Pauline is a teacher. She taught for years. And she's also, in case you don't know, she's a genius. And her children are geniuses. But I'm telling you, as fun as it is to tell the story, and I've told it over the years, it's more fun to see her flipping through and saying, yep, I'm paid back. And maybe some of that has come. I don't know. I haven't even ever asked them. But, hey, if Uncle So-and-so gave your inheritance away, If the devil stole your inheritance, if the devil's stealing your harvest, if the devil is putting symptoms on your body and he's the only one doing it because God cannot do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And while I'm right here, please dump that out of your thinking. God does not have cancer and he can't put it on you. The thief is doing that. It's scriptural. People say, well, God's making me sick to teach me something. You need to throw that away. That is not the truth. God is not doing that. John 10:10. Go read John 10:10. I don't have time. We got to go. Now, so she raised up. The baby raised up. All is well because the devourer is rebuked. Now, you can really see this in Jacob and Laban, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he sees Rachel. He says, who's that sister? And so he wants Rachel. And so Laban says, well, you're going to work 7 years for me and not you can have Rachel. And so y'all know the story. He worked 7 years and he sneaked Leah in there. And so Leah gets in there, and so then he says, well, I'll work 7 more years because I'm going to get the love of my life. And so he works 7 more years. And then he gets Rachel, but then he continues to work for Laban, who changed his wages 10 times. Mm-hmm. 10 times. Now, God shows up for justice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is Genesis 31:41. For 20 years I've done this. I have slaved away 14 years for the two daughters and another 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the God and the fear of Isaac had not stuck with me, you would have sent me off penniless. But God saw the fix I was in and how hard I had worked. Good deeds. And last night, he rendered his verdict. He rendered his verdict. He did it. See? God gave him a vision. And he made a deal. All right, Laban, let's just do a business deal. I'm going to keep all the critters that are ring-straked, all the ones that are have different colors, you know, like a paint horse or something. Or I don't know, maybe it was like those Oreo cows. Maybe. I don't know. They're just different color animals. He says, I'll keep all those. Laban's excited. Yeah, because he knows that they're all solid. But then God has him put up these poplar. Y'all know the story.
Yeah.
Put up all these poplar sticks. And so when the cattle go down to drink and breed, they're looking through these poplar sticks, which makes everything in their eyes look. And also in Jacob's eyes, too. And so they look all speckled to... when they're breeding, and what happens? Speckled cows come out. And Jacob walks away with the loot. He won. That's vengeance right there. Now Laban was led by the devil. He was a cheater. He could have said, you know what, you're my son-in-law, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get on the right side. But he didn't. He said, man, I got a good thing. This person working for me for nothing. I'm just going to keep it going. It'll be all right. You know, so, He could have changed that. But he stuck with the wrong side, so he went down with the wrong side.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? Declare your rights to the Father and he's going to avenge you. Now, once again, notice, Jacob did not formally come against Laban. I'm going to sue you. He didn't do it. People are not your enemy. They're not your enemy. There's a kingdom behind what is happening and it is the kingdom of darkness. Deal with the root. Church, you have the power to do this. Deal with the root, not the fruit. Laban was the fruit. The root was the devil attacking the man who was going to produce the 12 tribes of Israel. He was going to produce the nation. Y'all know that. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. You know, Praise the Lord. Those 12 sons became the tribes. Now, so it's not the people. Sometimes the laws of heaven collide with the laws of the earth. And when they do, church, we have to be like the three Hebrew children. We have to stand our ground. We have to declare by faith what will happen based on the laws of heaven. Then God is free to execute the judgment. We have to get out of his way. If you're going to try to pay somebody back, it's just going to put you in the same place they're in. I've said this to you for 20 years and a half. Unforgiveness is like taking poison and hoping someone else will die. And remember, it doesn't happen. This won't happen unless you open your mouth boldly. You have to declare it. This works on all levels for the nation, for you personally. When it comes to vengeance, you need to understand both sides of this thing. God only, here's another part of it that you need to get. He doesn't just turn the wrongs to rights. He will absolutely pay damages. I'm going to say it like you know how to hear it. He will restore retribution. He'll bring it back. But the thing about God is he'll bring it back better than when you started. He'll bring it back better than when you started. He repays the wrongs that you have suffered. Recompense. It means to return an equivalent for anything given, done, or suffered, to make amends or to pay damages. So with God, it's going to be better. Abimelech took Sarah to his house and then found out she was married. And he returned her and paid damages. I said, take what you want. He did. Take what you want. Go on. Here. Take the best place, whatever it is. Yes. Now, we're going to close here. Church, we are in a time where God wants to restore. Yes. We're at the end of an age. And he wants to restore some things. I can do that, Lord. There's an anointing for restoration released today for you. Restoration is on us right now. Whatever is making you uncomfortable can be removed. And please don't let false humility or religion stop you from decreeing what you need to decree and say boldly to the God of this, the universe, the judge, our God. You have to say it to him boldly. You need to get in there and make your declaration. Once again, two things. Vengeance operates by faith. God will not step in until you open your mouth. And that's not you going to the person and saying, you know, I heard what you said about me. Or you stole my money. Or, you know, whatever it is. It's not about that. It's about you going to God about the devil. Because he's behind it all. He's whispering in people's ears. People follow the kingdom of darkness. They don't understand. People are religious. People want to try to judge. I don't know what it is about the people in the body of Christ. There's just so many that seem like they're set themselves up as judge of other people. They'll judge. They're, you know, well, let's see. No, I don't think they're right. No, I don't think they're... No. We're not the judge. Your pastor's not the judge of you. I'm not the judge of you. I find no fault in any of you. That's not my job. I'm supposed to love you. But we come from generations where people just thought that the pastor ought to never make mistakes, which that's a joke. And that when they show up, See, my mom and them, you know, they smoked. You know, everybody smoked in, when I was a kid. Y'all may not know this, but they even had commercials. Some of y'all remember, they had commercials saying, smoke Lucky Strikes, it'll make your lungs feel good. You know, stuff like that. It was really strange stuff. But anyway, so when our pastor showed up, they're running with their cigarettes out, hiding everything. Hello, brother. You know, he's not God. You know, I have to say, one of the most comfortable experiences I ever had was I went to see one of our people one day, one of our parishioners. Hey, there's a word. Use that. One of our parishioners. And he opened the door and he had two beers in his hand. Hey, pastor, come on in. I am so glad he was that comfortable. That he didn't think he needed to act holy. Because that didn't mean he wasn't holy. Is it true? He could have come to the door. Hey, what's going on? He could have even come to the door. Come on in, Pastor. Now, I would have probably said, I think I'll stay out here. My point is, when you're out there, beloved, we don't need to be judging people. Look above. You love people. God will change them. However, you can hate the devil.
That's right.
And you can hate what he's done. And you can hate how he's used people. And you can hate how people have gotten hooked on things. You can hate that. But we're going to love people. I don't care if they paint their toenails green. I don't care what it is. I prefer red, but whatever you like. Do y'all receive this today?
We do.
Just pray what you need to pray. Say what you need to say. Don't be focusing on everybody else. God didn't find you in your prayer closet either. Having said that, for me and my staff, there are requirements.
Yes.
For me and my leaders, there are requirements for the praise and worship team.
Oh yeah.
There's requirements for the people who pray here. There are requirements.
Yep.
Because there are things we have to do with the anointing and for purpose. But we can't put that out on everybody else, that you have to grow as you grow. But as leaders, there's a responsibility. You sign something to get in some of these things. And there has to be some responsibility. So I just want to tell you that we're just not, whatever. No, but everyone's welcome. Okay. Now, let's close it here. Remember, God loves people and we love people. He has no pleasure. The scripture says he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So sometimes when you think, man, I'm glad they're gone. They were nothing but trouble on the earth. God takes no pleasure in that. He takes no pleasure in that. He wants everybody to find his son. He wants everybody to get saved. He wants everybody to find a good church that they're comfortable in. And, you know, you can live with the people. He wants that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare today what has interfered in this with these precious people, anything in their lives, whatever has interfered with their destiny, whatever's resisting God's plan for their life, whatever is holding them back, I command it to let them go right now. I declare with my authority, no more delays. No more denials, no more substitutes. Wherever the enemy held you back, break free now in Jesus' name. Angelic forces, go forth for God's people. Go forth now. We've come to the throne of heaven. Wherever there has been injustice or theft, We call for the justice now. We also call for a crop failure over our negative behavior. We plead the blood of Jesus over when we've judged anyone, over when we've accused anyone, of when we've been haughty or arrogant about something. We repent for that in Jesus' name. But Father, we declare from this word that our harvest comes to us. We get our reward for good deeds, for sowing seed in the name of Jesus. We declare right now that our good deeds have been seen and they are rewarded like Mordecai of old in Jesus' name. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Y'all good? You got anything? Okay. I pray that I went down right down the middle on that for y'all. That no one leaves here going, well, no. We love people. God changes them. There have been, thank God we're moving forward in the Church of the Living God, because there used to be some churches wouldn't let you in if you didn't have sleeves on, you know, or if you wore pants. Some ladies tried to give me the Holy Ghost because I had some pants on one time, and I just talked in tongues in their face, and they went, okay. Jeff, you're a great cameraman. He can stick with me. He just goes, thank you for that, Jeff. I declare you have a great reward over that seed right there. Thank you, Jesus, and all of Jordan's team. Thank you all. Thank you for what you do. Everybody. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Your return is big. It's big. It's big. It's big. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. I see a gate opening and saying, come on in. A gate is opening. Come on in. Woo! You feel the Holy Ghost on that? Yeah. Come on in. Come on in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. David, navigate mindfully. Navigate mindfully. Big things are coming. Bigger things are coming. Bigger ponds. Bigger ponds. Navigate mindfully in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I see even your career having a shift. A bit of a shift in Jesus' name. I see the anointings on your life. They're increasing. Doesn't take away from what you're doing, but just getting, there's a larger space here now in Jesus' name. And there's a softness developing around your people in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. I'm gonna fill up your calendar with divine appointments. Divine appointments, wherever you go. Divine appointments. The healing power of God is with you. You'll lay hands on the sick. They will recover. In Jesus' name, just command those symptoms to leave people and you're gonna watch them leave. In Jesus' name. The witness is strong and it's true. Stay with it. Keep your eyes open because there'll be people. They need you now. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've actually sown a very large seed, your blood family. You've moved away from them, and you're reaping a spiritual family. And we're so glad you're here. And we love you. The Lord says they won't be far from you. They won't be far from you. There will be some miraculous things happening in the bloodline. Miraculous things. As they watch what God is going to do with the three of you. Amen. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see a lot of ha-has on the devil. A lot of them, a lot of them, a lot of ha. You're just going to go, whoa. I mean, it's coming. It's going to come like people that are out shooting at a target. God's doing it. Justice, 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 justice. Justice, justice, justice. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Shelby, I see a heavenly connection in your prayers, coming up to another level, some real good hearing and saying things. That authority is growing even stronger in you. You've always had it, but it's growing stronger now. The Lord wants me to tell you that there's some great development on the scene, some great development in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. I have one more thing to do, and this is a little sensitive. But you will take it. There are folks in here that one of your relatives took their lives. And I'm going to tell you right now that you're getting justice and recompense right now. This is a move of God on your life. Now, most of you that I know, you've moved past the grief and the. Of course, you don't believe any lies that people that take their lives don't go to heaven. That's silly stuff. Religion made that up. It's no different than as someone who died of cancer. They go off the wire, and things happen. It doesn't mean they don't go to heaven. So if that's you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come to the courts of heaven. I declare justice and I declare recompense. I say grief, leave you alone from this moment on. Yeah. This does not belittle your family. This does not belittle anything that has to do with you. You receive the justice and the recompense in Jesus' name right now. You receive it and you stop anything that's hindering you about it. If it's made you uncomfortable, in Jesus' name, be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah. Everything's all right. Soon as they crossed over, they went, oops.
That's right. That is right.
I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Well, you've said that before. They just did it in eternity.
Right.
Yeah. Get a bigger picture, church.
Right.
Don't pull that down. It's hard when we lose any loved one. But get the bigger picture. We're still connected.
Amen. Yes, we are.
They're working from the other side.
That's true.
They're working. Your husband that died, your wife that died, your relative, your son, your child, whoever it is, your parents, they're working from the other side.
Right.
We will be with them pretty soon. We do not have to sit around. We need to just get the job done.
That's right.
Amen.
Some people grieve for 40 or 50 years. You're just being loyal to death. When that person is there going, would you get over it? I'm living good.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. You need to throw that thing away.
That's right. That is right.
You miss them. You cry sometimes. It hurts sometimes. But that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that you need to stay loyal to that kind of thing. That's just being selfish.
Yeah, that's true.
There's plenty of people that you need to love.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, Lord. I have one more thing. Today is the day. If anyone has led a corrupt life around you that has tried to ruin your reputation, recompense starts now. Anyone who's just discharged a bunch of junk about you, recompense starts today. Justice starts today. Now we know what to do with that today because we're not mad at people.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So don't immediately go, I knew God was going to get them. No. No. It's over. You are who you are. I don't care who your mama was, who your daddy was, who your grandpa was, who your ancestor was, whoever it is. I don't care. I don't care if you had a bad husband, a good, whatever it is. It's over today. You have a good God with a good Jesus with a good family here, this is what you're living for. Everybody's got a story, church. Everybody. My grandmother was locked up in a room because her stepfather didn't appreciate her. People have all sorts of stories like that. Abuse, beaten. Let's let go and let God handle it today. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Right now. And those of you who you have relatives who just cause trouble when they come around, you do not have to feel bad about staying away from them. You do not have to feel bad about that. You keep your family. Don't let the troublemakers in there. You can love them and pray for them and be okay about it. No guilt about that in Jesus' name. None. Praise the Lord. Y'all agree? Yes. Father, thank you for the internet audience. We thank you that they are free and living good today. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And amen.